Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvetti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody.
Pouring rain here, is it there?
Oh, no. No, no. It's actually beautiful. It was windy all day, but it finally calmed down.
Okay.
we know that weather all over the world right now is just bizarre.
It's a weather or not.
Yeah, something like that. So tonight, we're going to talk about disappointment, fear, and abandonment, and how they're separating you from your future, and many other things, okay? Many other things, not just the future, but all that the future can hold. And we're also going to talk about, you know, if these came in through mom and dad, which generally they all do, and also this deep dread that we all carry, you know, that the universe, God, Goddess, all that is, God, won't be there for us or they don't love us. And this is kind of, again, built into the system. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And I'm actually excited. It came up in sessions. And when I see, you know, a common thread during the week, I always know it's a message from the team. Let's do this. And since I'm reeling from the energies, I just kind of hold on to any thread I can this week. And I want to remind everyone, if you have questions, you can email them to Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com. Entwistle with no, what do you always say, Veronica? No H?
No H in Entwistle.
Okay, that would be if I knew how to spell whistle.
That's right.
Oh, no. Okay. I got it. Never
yeah,
mind.
Of, you know what computers are like. You put one small wrong thing in and you're done, right?
Right. Well, you know, this is. So, anyway, you're welcome to email during the show. Veronica's got her little computer right there, I hope.
I do indeed, because
you
Bob
are
sets it up for me. He's so helpful.
Oh, he's wonderful. Thank you, Bobby. So, let's talk about the energies. Oh, my God. Now, I haven't been following astrological influences at all. I've been so busy. Other than Sunday, I knew was going to be a really tough day, the 15th of April. But my poor client, I have had more reports regarding the energies. And even in my own personal experiences, oh, Lord. Wait a minute. Did we lose a page? Oh.
I think the gremlins of the computers are hyperactive.
Oh, yeah. Nothing's working right. If you're on a spiritual path, and if you're listening to this program, obviously you are, unless you're just curious, you are really riding the wave of these energies. I know people look around and say, but they look fine. You know, or I have friends, and I'm like, yeah, I'm so sorry. So, out-of-body experiences. Veronica, have you been running these?
My own out-of-body experiences?
In other words, walking around like you are so ungrounded. You seem pretty grounded to me. I have not been grounded this week at all.
I think that I have lapses of memory, and I felt like all the bones in my head disappeared a while ago. I think that's ungrounded, maybe.
Okay. Well, I told somebody I was going to put rocks in my shoes, and they wrote back and said, in your pockets.
Yeah, they can be pretty uncomfortable in your shoes.
I know. Well, it just shows how out of body I am. No sense of time, a lot of exhaustion, broken sleep patterns. You get in bed, you sleep for a couple of hours, wake up, and then you can't go back to sleep. Lots of digestion. What?
I always have that.
Yes, you always have this one. Mm-hmm. And nothing upsets me more than having to get up at 3:30 in the morning because I absolutely cannot get back to sleep.
Yeah, that's awful.
Digestion, lots of digestive problems. a lot of tap dancing on the crown and the back of the head, known as the God mind. Also, unable to hold an intelligent conversation. I'm finding this incredibly challenging.
I think the nature of intelligence is changing, so maybe you're doing just fine.
Well, great. You better find me somebody to talk to then, Veronica, because hopefully they're not any more grounded than I am. But, you know, I have to say that I used to be so sharp, and I have to double-check everything I do right now. And I know, you know, it's not because I do have moments. But these energies for me have been, you know, oh, Lordy, they've been challenging. And I, you know, try not to whine too much, but I've given that up for Lent. Is Lent over yet? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. You can do it anytime you want, Lent.
Yes, lapse of memory. And I do want to address this because I've been hearing so many people talk about this. And I'm beginning to sound like a babbling idiot with my clients. It's amazing that they're still contacting me. You know? Oh, my God, it's so funny.
But I was at a big meditation gathering today in discussion. It was very enlightening when they were talking about awakening. One of the biggest symptoms of it is memory loss.
Well, we've been having memory loss for years here. This is not the first time.
Yeah, but you've been awakening for years, too, haven't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have dementia, folks, and I don't have Alzheimer's or anything. I just, boy. And I find myself literally walking around the house like a, you know, going from session to session to session, almost like a zombie with my eyes spinning around. I'm just like, oh, my God. Let me know when it's time to get back in my body. Okay.
We need to make these shows a Skype visual show so we can really watch that.
Oh, well, I'm in my 90. That'd be cute. You know, let's have an intimate show. Fear of disappointment and how fear shows up. It includes the fear of abandonment. And this has come up in sessions this week. And, I, you know, this is now unraveling as we're going through this whole ascension process, how deeply woven in this really is to our entire matrix. I'm fascinated by this. And also how it's kept us separated from each other.
Boy, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. From each other and also from our great work. Or even attempting our great work, that fear of disappointment and fear of abandonment, okay? Whether it's by others or by God, Source, God, Goddess, all that is, whatever you prefer to call it, creation, it doesn't matter to me. God will pretty much answer to anything. Then there are people who have just stopped trying. And sometimes they stop in childhood. And if the parents were too tough, some children went into ambivalence, to a state of nothing is ever good enough, so why even try? And this really clicked for me. This came up in a session, and I was fascinated by it. And this was a very bright, bright person. And that ambivalence carried over into their own lives to the point where they never went out and really tried a lot of things that they would be wonderful at. But the ambivalence carried over from childhood, where, again, critical parents, nothing's ever good enough, etc. And, you know, you can end up with one of two kinds of children, either the hyper-overachievers who, you know, kind of sit on the edge of anger, or the ambivalent. Which I was fascinated when it came up. I thought it was a very interesting way of looking at it. Others are so afraid of being disappointed, and this is where Christmas always comes to mind with me. I've had girlfriends where Christmas is such an event. I mean, an event that it's just mind-boggling. I had one girlfriend, and her parents used to fill up this whole room with gifts, you know, and they would wrap like spatulas and, you know, and I would be like, are you freaking kidding me? Are we done yet? I mean, it was cute, not anything I do. Not that I don't love to give gifts, I do, but this really went over the edge. But so much disappointment around Christmas. You've seen this, haven't you, Veronica?
Oh, yes, for sure.
That letdown after Christmas when it's never as good as you're hoping that it's going to be. I see this with my daughter all the time. Maybe because she still is in adolescent, but in child. And that carries over, that fear of disappointment, not just from Christmas, but from a number of things. That fear of disappointment, fear of abandonment, fear of disapproval, the ambivalence. And as I looked at kind of the whole matrix of this energy and looked at what it does to people in terms of reaching out for what they really want, the people that do reach out, you know, and Veronica, you've really reached out. I give you a lot of credit.
Thank you.
But people that really do reach out really have done some homework on themselves. There's no question in my mind about this. And then comes, of course, that ultimate fear of abandonment. And, you know, I really looked at this and I said, okay, what's the abandonment about? Is it abandonment of God? That, of course, is a huge piece. That ultimately you're not good enough for God, you know, that you single-handedly will be the only person that God, the universe, God is all that is going to let drift down the river. Everybody else they're going to take care of, not you. We get a lot of this from distant parents, emotionally distant, especially fathers, who played such a big role in this arena with emotional abandonment or physical abandonment. Physical abandonment, of course, because of divorce or death or illness. And emotional abandonment, this kind of, I don't know about you, Veronica, but there are so many people that, well, I'm over 9,000 sessions now. And after a while, it's almost like it fits into this mold. I mean, don't misunderstand people. I'm not, you know. Trying to simplify your life. But the emotionally distant father seems to be a huge trend.
Can it be a father who just won't be involved with you even though he's there all the time?
That's abandonment. That's emotional abandonment. And that's emotionally distant. They're there. You can see them. You want their love and attention. You just can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
How much more distant can it be?
I know, it's really interesting, isn't it? It's just, yeah, one of those things that looks like it's all perfect.
Well, this emotionally distant parent, especially the father, really hits into financial manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Because your relationship with money is so cued into your relationship with father. And you can go one of two ways. You know, I know of people who had a poor relationship with father and went to the other extreme, but they're the rarity. All right, the rarity. Majority of people who've had a very poor relationship with father, especially, again, I'll talk about girls for women for a minute. Women who have the distant fathers have usually had very poor boundaries with men and very low expectations. You know, the women I talk to whose daddy, you know, thought they were daddy's little princess, it's amazing what they expect in their life.
Mm-hmm. And get.
And get. But will they get it because they expect it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Or they feel more... I know two women who are sisters 4 years apart. One was a really rambunctious kid. The other one almost died and was carried by her dad for a whole year around three years old. And one of them has total emotional abandonment and anger with the father, and the other one trusts men and has had great relationships, you know.
This is the one that the father carried around for a year.
Exactly, yeah. Same dad. And I just keep watching them going, that was handy that she had that time with her father being so supportive. I guess he loved having to carry her. She had a really bad heart thing.
Well, and again, we go back to the projection of God onto Daddy and Goddess onto Mom. And so ultimately, our relationship with Dad is reflective of what we perceive our relationship with God, because it's always going to be a God projection on this planet. Always. Always, always, always. And likewise with Mom.
What about you, Jackie, who got bounced around so many different ways? Is that a nice way to neutralize these effects?
You know, my father was in my life for the first 5 years.
Oh, that's important.
And he was incredibly loving, unbelievably loving. And wonderful personality. You know, he was... He was very affectionate, very entertaining, very bright. So I had that bond for those first 5 years of my life, even though I can't access all of it. But I think it gave me, I'm always attracted to men who are intelligent, you know, have a great sense of humor, blah, blah, blah. You know, that it's an odd. Hold on here.
You abandoned me. You've abandoned us.
There we are. So I think, and, you know, Mother was, whoever Mother was, did it distill it, I think, in a way, because I was recording familial dynamics, but I think it did distill it. I think I carry, you know, I wouldn't want to be me. but there are the original imprints that are always there, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I didn't realize I hadn't seen my mother in 25 years. And when I did see her, I'd only seen her a couple of times for like an hour or two visit. In between that time, from the time I was 16, I was fascinated by how many of her traits I carried.
Oh, really?
Mm. Absolutely. Expressions, you know, motions of hands and, you know, dynamics and so on, you know, very much like her. So, you know, I think those things all count. But this emotional abandonment piece is so strong, okay? And physical, in your case, Veronica, you were experiencing physical abandonment. If Dad's right there and you cannot get his attention, and you want it so desperately, it is a form of abandonment, period.
Mm-hmm.
And rejection. And he's emotionally distant. You know, which that kind of cues into... also for you, some of the very interesting relationships you've had, which some of them were very intellectual, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've had some others. We won't go into those.
Not on global radio, anyway.
No, I think we'll pass. Okay. And, of course, this third piece is the abandonment by God, or God got us all that is, which is built into the matrix of Earth. And it was a setup here where... you know, we would come in and experience ourselves as separate from our source. absolutely devastating. And this is that emptiness that everybody feels, that nothing's ever too, you cannot fill that hole up. This is what drives us to become spiritual, to seek God through religion, or our own individual spiritual growth, or both. From a larger perspective, this is what makes us so unique in the universe, is that even experiencing ourselves as separate from our source, that of our own volition, we are driven back to, which is really kind of the big plan, driven back to that relationship in any way that we can find it. Many people have had abandonment with religion or with spiritual groups, and I've seen people walk away, completely walk away, if they had a spiritual teacher who was less than integrous. Very interesting to me how these things can affect them. You know, there were some years in there where there were a lot of, I'm sure there are now, I don't think so, but not as much, but there were some years out there where there were a lot of people who were selling a lot of goods. You know, I'm the guru, follow me. You saw some of those, didn't you, Ronnie?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I don't know what to say about that, because I think that it's, you can't really just follow anybody these days. I was just thinking how, when you were talking about religions, that search for God was a search for authority that probably made us very vulnerable to religion.
Well,
you know, looking for somebody who said, I'm the authority. Okay, all right, we'll do it, you know.
Okay, but
go,
we project anyway, Veronica. We project God onto Dad, and then from there we project out into the world onto religion,
mm-hmm.
onto money, onto large corporations, onto politics. This is why it's such a heated thing, and why you see so much religion involved in it and religious belief. Onto politics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Military. This is all masculine energy. And doctors and dentists, of course, but, you know, again, these are all God projections. You've talked to people who, if the doctor said so, that was it.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness, yes. And the doctor wouldn't, or, you know, it's not just doctors, it's like, they wouldn't sell something that would hurt someone. like, okay.
I have a girlfriend like that, and... But she also says if there really are extraterrestrials, it would be on television. Why isn't it on the news? Oh, I don't know, because they pulled it off. 2004, when Mexico announced, and their government came forward and said, it was actually their military, and they made a formal announcement. And they had the most extraordinary footage of UFOs literally following a military craft loaded with military people. And those were on CNN for about 15 minutes, taken off, and never seen again.
Wow.
And I heard from...
you think God took them off?
No. I heard from my son that out at Nellis Air Force Base, they went to work immediately to discredit the Mexican government for coming forward with that.
Wow, isn't that something?
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. So, abandonment by God and goddess then translate to our parents, to our relationships with others, including males and females, because we continue those projections out. Of course, to our partners. And lots of people would love to be in relationship, and lots of people are afraid. And they will find all kinds of ways not to enter a relationship, conscious and otherwise, for fear of being abandoned or disappointed. How many times have you seen that, Ronnie?
Oh, a lot. Probably 95% of the people in relationship or seeking it. Mm-hmm.
And even people that are in relationship.
A great deal of it, yes. You must see that too, eh?
Oh, all the time.
Mm-hmm. And mostly because we've all been through it. I mean, you've been through it. I've been through it. You know?
Well, maturity helps a lot.
I'm a late bloomer. I think I'm about 7.
Well, you know,
if we carry the abandonment with us, it doesn't really matter how old we are, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I'm always fascinated by, you know, I've looked at myself and I've looked at my own evolution as not only a person, but my views on many things, and it's kind of interesting to me when I look outside into my own personal life how much I changed, and how much easier it is for me to A, accept love, B, expect love, which I find very, very interesting because they really go hand in hand. And again, because all relationships are reflections and projections, if you can't get to that point, you're not going to be able to experience.
And if you can't be the authority in your own life, you'll give the authority.
Oh, yes.
Which I think it took me about 100 years for that.
I'm too scrappy to give my authority away. I will nurture and care for someone I love, but in every way. But to give my own authority away, no.
I'm pretty scrappy too, but I think there's aspects where I have at times.
Oh, I didn't say I haven't.
Oh.
But it's just, you know, again, there's a difference in the way you do it,
mm-hmm.
and what you reach a point where you don't need to carry a big stick. You don't need to compete. You don't need to jump out there and say it will be this or that. That serves nothing. When you really are confident in yourself, you don't need to do any of those things. And you're not
right.
threatened by things. And I think that's where you reach that level of personal comfort.
And you're not projecting God onto this.
You're not projecting God or daddy or mother or goddess onto your partner. You're not still dealing with those issues. And you have enough self-love and self-confidence to be able to love someone and not put their feet to the fire, if you understand what I'm saying. To me, that's just silly. There's a difference between ambivalence, however, not really caring what somebody does because you're so detached, versus caring what they do, but not needing to be adversarial in any way. It's a real interesting, you know, I keep playing with it all the time. This also happens for men with a feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with a lovely man, and we've been working together a little while. And it was very interesting that he came in, even though he knew his mother loved him, he was not able to open up and really accept and allow that love and intimacy in. Now, during the session, I think the team went too, because thank God they make notes. And they went to, really took him back, and it was a deep-seated fear around the abandonment of the goddess. And it was deep within this person's psyche. And, you know, this goes back, I mean, you know, I always talk about the painting with the vagina with teeth in it. This fear of rejection by the feminine is very interesting. So I'm going to go into channel here, because I know we've got a couple of questions, and I know the team would like to talk with everybody. And they're pumping with energy. Thank you, guys. All right. Welcome, everyone. All right, Veronica, you've got questions for us.
We sure do. We have two tonight. the first one will be, is it true that there are going to be many arrests of the Illuminati / Cabal members? Simple question,
well,
right?
Yes, well, you didn't put the bankers in there. That's certainly going around as well, that there are going to be all these bankers arrested. The answer to that is very simple. It's not going to happen overnight. Will things change? Yes. What we recommend for all of you is to put your focus on the positive side of this. What do you desire to see for your planet? For the economy? For your political arena? Focus on that. If you meditate, certainly send light, love, assistance in all of these arenas. We've talked about this and we know the channel has as well. Now, will there be a rest? Well, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. All right. There's a lot of talk of this going on all over, and as we said also about different people in banking. And, you know, once these things get on the internet, they pick up speed and they go everywhere. Oh, yes, the bankers are all going to jail and this and that. And we can assure you that that is not going to happen right now. Your economies are very unstable globally. That kind of an event, all right, the effect it would have on your stock market, the effect that it would have on the values of currencies, all over the world, not just in your United States, could be devastating to your global economy. Now, we know that there are going to be those of you that will be marching around going, yay, yay, you know, the devil's dead. But at what cost?
But it's costing now.
We understand, Veronica. But understand that things are going to change, not at the speed that all of you think. All right? Yes, they're going to change. And new structures are evolving that are coming up. They're going to come up so that there's something else to step in. All your bankers go away. All right? And truly, who's going to arrest your Illuminati and cabal? All right? The upheaval on your planet isn't there yet. And if you're patient, and if you participate by visualizing what it is you want to experience on Earth, since all of your realities are subjective anyway, rather than wanting to get the bad guy. You see, as humans, you have some great sense of satisfaction with this. Got him. All right, we got him. And we'll give you your Bernie Madoff as an example. Bernie Madoff. All right. Took an unbelievable number of investors and money. Nobody really knows where everything is, but they're trying to recoup as much as they'll never get it all. Did that really solve anything? Other than the people finding out how much they'd lost. We'd like to hear your answer to this, Veronica.
Did it really solve anything? I'm not sure if it did, because it didn't change
Did it create any new laws, any new rules? Nothing. And those that control financial markets, those that are policing financial markets, had been told long ahead that there was a problem and ignored it.
And in the middle of some of these incredible things, the money that's being made by some of the ones that are not just Madoff, but like Goldman Sachs and so on, they're all making more money in spite of the fact we all think that, oh dear, they've been caught. Now we'll see it all change. It doesn't change very much, does it?
No. Again, your focus, and we really encourage you. First of all, you're dealing in an illusion. There's more than enough. All right? There always will be. You can create whatever it is you choose to create. You're not taking anybody else's away. We really caution you not to get into that mentality. Again, meditate on fairness. Meditate on resolution. All right?
What about the awakening of people in states of power? Is that a thing to meditate on? You know, that beings wake up and
of
power
course.
Changes.
Of course. But you can't be invested in exactly who, all right? So what we would say is yes. People in decision-making, and we have many people that include that in their intention. That the decision maker in this arena, all right, begin to awaken. We want you to understand that they may awaken, but those around them may not yet. There's a lot more going on than you as humans understand in your physical drama, all right? And each one of you, based on your own choices and decisions, can experience your lives different, unique, compared to what everyone else is experiencing. So we caution all of you with this doomsday kind of thought, although you wouldn't think of the Illuminati and the Kabbalah all being arrested. It sounds good. It's very idealistic to think if they're out of the picture, everything's going to be okay. We promise you that's not necessarily the case. Regardless, even if they were, you still have a lot of downstream that needs to be changed and healed. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I keep thinking the influx of higher frequency energies. Okay, I'm harping on something here. Higher frequency energies has to impact some people in power, doesn't it?
It's going to influence. But when you look at the far right and some of the extreme things that are being talked about, all right, remember the influence that you're going to have is light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
Be clear with this. There's always going to be the yin and the yang, the light, the dark. All right? And you all know that at 2012, the end of this year, you're at a tipping point. All right? And all of you poor, exhausted light workers will be thrilled to know that. Thrilled to know it. You're kind of in the home stretch right now. Also, Veronica, with the frequencies that are coming in, it can drive some people mad.
I suppose that's true, yeah.
All right. So be aware of that. Be aware of that. Look at your own life, what you're accomplishing, what you're doing. Be reality creators and understand that science is right. You spin it out of your mind. It's a hologram. Now, is it important to hold higher visions for everything? Absolutely. but do it from a positive perspective rather than finger-pointing and judging. It's very easy to do that, and all that's going to do is lower your frequency. This is when we hear ding-dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch is dead, and we don't think that that's really where you want to be. You're already seeing things begin to overturn. Also, as they get overturned in other governments and other countries, that doesn't mean their problems are all solved. Nobody puts a big bow on it. They still have things to work out. All right, next question, Veronica.
All right, this is a cute little note. Greetings, Earthlings. So here's my question. I've been doing some work with the team and can't seem to get my inner child to stop destroying my life. Is it totally fine my inner child wants to wreck my marriage, destroy my ability to be a good father, sever all of my relationships, trash my dreams, etc.? Nice, simple question.
All right, now, wait a minute, his inner child, well, there is no such thing as an inner child. There is your child that exists in time and space.
Oh, and one more part of the question that I had missed. Why is it that I thought I had helped my inner child and recognized my pain, so why do I continually have to deal with this?
All right, again, we're going to go back to your child exists in time and space. All right? It is not an inner child. Literally, everything exists in one now moment. All right? If you had this big spiral and you could look all the way around it, all every event, everything going on all at the same time, much bigger spiral than you can imagine. And on that spiral are your child and your adolescent, your damaged child. Your job is to heal that child, to go and be with that child, to give that child what that child needs, to love that child, and to convince that child that you're going to take care of them, which means you then become accountable for your behaviors to your child, an actual child, you at that age. Not some theoretical child, an actual child. And that's ongoing work. And if your child is still trying to wreck everything, you better get into meditation and spend some time with that child.
It's being a real disruptor, eh?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That child is screaming, all right, and they is stuck. Because that child was supposed to become the magical child that integrated in. That's where magic is born. And obviously that child didn't integrate in. That child is still waiting, lost out there, time and space. All right. Again, everything happening in one now moment down the timeline, there it is. So we'd recommend that you try to find the event or events and really spend time loving that child. You can't go into meditation and meet with your child and then bawl them out. Right? You stop ruining my reality. That's not going to work. All right? You need to love them. You need to figure out what it is they need. That's important. And the responsibility that you take there is to be responsible to your child. Don't worry. I'm going to be the adult here for you. I'm going to take care of you. And this child, by the way they're acting, is saying, you're not taking care of me. Where's the solid parent? You're my future self. You're being my parent. Where did you go? You abandoned me now too. Daddy and Mommy abandoned me, and probably Dad. And now you abandon me. So the child will act out. That makes sense to you, Veronica?
Yes, it does. So what I understand is you're saying it'd be like repeated abandonment then.
Well, it becomes repeated abandonment if you've gone in and you've worked meditatively with your child.
Mm-hmm.
Your actual child. You become the future self. Go to spend time with the child. Sit. Listen. Put your arm around them. Gain their confidence and their trust. Hear what they have to say. Because you're the adversary for that child. I've come back to help you, to help to heal you. And I promise you, I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to abandon you. And that requires work and follow-up. To say that your child's out of control and ruining your life, it's not like you throw your hands in the air and say, you know, if I could just find them, I'd put them in time out. It's not going to work.
Is it hard to find your child? Not that hard, I guess, is it?
No, not at all. Lazarus does a beautiful meditation of just going into the forest at night under a moonlit sky, walking towards a clearing with the moonlight shining on it. Nicety there, because it's your meditation. A little fire, if you'd like. Or your sacred place, if those of you that work with Lazarus on a regular basis have your place. For some of you, it could be the inner Earth Star, but go there and wait for your child. Now you may want to work with both child and adolescent, or just your child. That's all right. Now when they come in, if you've never been there before, they're not going to know who you are. Hi, Bobby, Mary, whoever, I'm your future self. And you literally, you're like the fairy godmother or fairy godfather. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, here's somebody that really loves them and has come to help them and to get back in touch with their magic. Because all children know magic. Their lives can be magical. Humans, unfortunately, ruin it for them.
Mm-hmm. Mostly adults who haven't dealt with their own child, right?
Of course, they don't understand. They don't understand. And the whole purpose of what's going on the planet right now is for you all to discover how powerful you really are. Very frustrated on the other side of the veil for those that watch you, you know, hitting themselves in the middle of the forehead, saying, are they ever going to figure out who they really are? And how powerful they are. And we're all sitting here, we've got them on, you know, screen, all right? Their form of soap opera, but ultimately, you've all been taught, literally been taught, and it's in your lineage, that you are powerless, that you have to fight your way to the top and do this and do that, when in fact you are incredibly powerful, all of you. And the more that you embrace that, the more you heal everything that stands in the way of knowing who you are, the more magical you will find that you are.
It's interesting to me, as you say all that, you know, I was thinking earlier about how much spin there is in all the media information, and really what you just talked about is spin that we've been living in our whole lives, eh, people?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's not just in your lifetimes either. It's going on for a long time.
Yeah. Shame, all of that part of it.
Well, it's all right. this is the time to turn it around.
Yay!
And, again, watch for your fear of abandonment. All right? We really encourage you about this. Many of you are afraid to step out and really use your magic. Afraid that God or the universe will abandon you. Afraid that it won't work. Afraid that you'll be rejected. Work on your own. If you had a strong parental relationship up till 5 years of age, with lots of love, there's a good chance that you have a child who understood its magic, who had time, hopefully, to play with magic, to have fun with it, to feel magical. And if you think about that, how many times have you heard people say, I'd love to be a kid again. Boy, I really thought I had the world by the tail. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I could do anything. And that's when, of course, you play with toys and build things and do things. And imagine. Your imaginations are so brilliant as children. Until you're told, don't do that. It's time to stop fooling around. Okay? You have chores, etc., etc. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it's taken from you instead of fostered. Instead of fostered. We work with one person who has young boys in a very lovely environment, beautiful home, private schools, etc. But they're so busy, they don't have time to play with magic, their magic, to get in touch with it. Now they know how to, you know, play the violin, soccer. Oh, goodness, all sorts of things. They go from thing to thing, which is wonderful that they're... But they need magic time. They need play time. And if you'll notice, a lot of kids that worked on a farm, whose parents were farmers, they're not very magical people. They're solid people. But they're not magical. Do you ever think about that, Veronica?
No, I haven't thought about that. It's really interesting. I have thought about children being too busy to get kind of bored and daydreamy and imaginative and stare into space. I think that's a big danger. But I thought farm kids were more associated with the mysteries.
Well, they understand nature, but that's not magic.
Interesting.
All right, dear, we think we're at the end of the time here.
We are. Too bad. This is very interesting. Thank you.
All right. Veronica, you want to talk about your show?
Yeah, I'll talk very fast. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, we're having Michael Klingerman, who is, in quotes, awakened, and he's representing the Oneness Blessings group, the Diksha, around the world. And he's pretty, pretty interesting and very vigorous about waking up. So that'll be quite good. 8 o'clock Tuesday night.
All right.
And then Thursday at 7 o'clock, we'll be on with Radiance by Design.
All right.
And then you.
All right. We'd like to offer to each and every one of you the opportunity to work with you this evening. As you go to bed, you must call us in, dear team. We'd like to work with you about reclaiming your magic. We've done this before, but magic is getting to be so critical and so important. So if you're willing, you call us in. Know that we love all of you so very much. We're so excited to see what each and every one of you are doing, creating, where you're going, and how much you're opening and healing. Until we speak with you again in this format, namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much.
All right. Are we on or off, honey?
Yes, we're on.
Okay, good night, everybody. I know we're running late, and I know they need this off. So good night, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk with you next week, same time. Blessings to everyone. Veronica, love you. Good night, everybody.
Love you, too. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening.